Okay, everybody, we're in Revelation chapter 9 tonight. I know there's a few more coming, but a lot are on vacation this week, so I'm glad that y'all came. Y'all are so faithful. We'll call y'all the Marines, the faithful ones. All right, before we get started, your conversation at your table is this. What do you know about Satan, and what do you know about what Satan does every day? Talk about that amongst your table just for a minute. We're going to talk about Satanology tonight a little bit. So talk about Satan and what he does. All right, what do we think back in the back table back there? What do you think? What do you know about Satan? He works, yep, he definitely works. He sure does. Yep. Is he on his own? Is he by himself? What else has he got on his team? All right. How many of the angels are with him, do we know, we think? Do you remember how many fell with him? One third. Right. Found out that, yeah, when Satan went down, a third of the angels had went with him. So we got two thirds on our team. So that's good. And all we know, and remember, in heaven is the angels are innumerable. So we got plenty on our team. But tonight we're going to get into hell a little bit and Satan a little bit. And I hope to kind of open Pandora's box a little bit. What I mean is, I think we give Satan a little bit too much credit and a little bit too much power and authority that he doesn't really have. And so tonight we're going to talk about what his power looks like. Because in chapter 9, we're going to get to the fifth and the sixth trumpet. And things change here. Satan gets involved. All hell is released on earth. So we get to see some of that tonight. All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you so very much for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would just infect our hearts. And Lord, tonight, in the name of Christ, we ban any form of evil from this room. Lord, we have authority in the name of Christ that Satan and his demons cannot stand the authority of God. They have to bow to the word of Christ, to the name of Christ. So in the name of Christ, we just pray for just freedom in this room to be able to share and learn and grow together. We look forward to what your holy word is going to provide. Lord, we are so thankful to have your Bible right in front of us. And Father, I just pray that we would not only hear it, but take it to heart today. And Lord, as we go forth from here, that we be renewed and strengthened in our walk with you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all the people said, amen. Amen. All right, a little bit of review again. Of course, chapter 6, we saw the six seals. I just want to remind you again, we had the white horse, the making war seal. We had the red horse, the taking peace away, making chaos seal. We had the black horse, the oppression and the injustice seal. Then the pale horse, death and Hades come along behind. Now again, that's an important concept. I want you to see Hades in play right there, okay? Then the fifth seal, the cry of the martyrs, season of martyrdom. Then the sixth seal, the cosmic disruptions. Remember, the sun is darkened, the moon is red, the stars fall out of the sky. A lot happens, okay? And then we looked at chapter 8, after chapter 7, where the sealing of the 144,000 were. We get into chapter 8 last week, and we saw the first four trumpets, okay? So the first one was hail and fire, and a third of the earth was burned up. And how much of the grass? All of it. All the grass was burned, that thing, okay? Second trumpet, the blazing mountain fell into the sea, and a third of the sea life dies. So suddenly, we've lost a third of all the sea life, okay? Then, that wormwood, this star called wormwood, or made of wormwood. Wormwood is really an element, it's not a name. But a star made of wormwood fell onto the rivers and made one-third, here you go, one-third of the fresh water bitter, and even some people died. So that bitterness is not just a bad taste. Something's wrong with it. I'm not sure exactly what, but yeah, somehow poisoned at least a little. And then fourth trumpet, the sun, the moon, the stars are darkened again. So we see a significant darkening of the sunlight, which means that trees and plants and all the stuff that we depend on are now going to grow slower and weaker, right? Now, this week, we bump into a problem, okay? if you want to do something in your Bible, you want to start chapter 9 of Revelation. They say it is the number one hardest chapter to interpret and understand in the entire book of Revelation. Because what we're going to see today, we have no precedence for. We don't really, I don't understand half of what I'm going to tell you today. So a lot of times I'm just going to say, we're just going to take it for what it is, you know? Sometimes, you know, I can't explain it to you in full. There's a lot of theories we're going to throw out there, a lot of ideas. But when you begin to play with the dark side, Satan and his minions, I don't know a whole lot about demonology and the hell, the different concepts of hell and all that. But today, all this stuff's going to emerge out, and it's going to look like this, it's going to look like that, but I'm not sure what it really is, okay? So let's get into this. We're going to look at the fifth trumpet. Somebody read the first 12 verses of chapter 9. Good bit of reading there. First 12 verses of chapter 9. All right. Okay. Well, let's get into this piece by piece. You know, the first four deal with the attacks on nature, but the next two deal with hell, with demons, with negative forces emerging out of this bottomless pit. Okay? So there's our horn. So this one's about the star, the first verse there. Okay, so the fifth angel sounded his trumpet. Again, I hesitate to put that kind of trumpet. That is the word pharnix, but it could be a more of a ram's horn. It could be like that, but that is the classic view of a long trumpet that is used in those places there. And I saw, again, this word hara'o, where he sees for catching the ideas, right? He's grabbing a hold of an idea. You know, this implication of this throughout the whole Revelation is that, you know, he is not grasping these things in an instant. I don't know how long, but it may be this vision is a lot longer in actuality than we think. Because it's almost like he is studying these ideas. It's almost like God is presenting them to him and he is grasping them. So I don't know, this may take, you know, a long time in human history, human time, that he's going through this vision. Anyway, he's catching this, and he saw a star. The word aster is the actual, just a star, regular old star. And it says, remember in Revelation 1:20, it says that he held the seven stars in his hand, and the stars were angels. Remember? The lampstands were the churches, but the stars were angels, okay? So again, we have kind of a precursor of what this could be. Now, I'm leading you down a path for a reason, okay? Now, does anybody remember a star that had fallen from the sky? What do you think? What comes into your natural? Right. You think about, now notice it says in my version, it says that had fallen, and this is a very simple thing, but it's really a participle, meaning having fallen. Okay, not had fallen, but having fallen, meaning somewhere in the past to the earth. Now, that having fallen thing does lead us back to think of the past. In Luke 10:18, Jesus says, I saw Satan cast down from heaven, right? Like a falling star. I mean, he equated that to you. Okay? Now, here's the Pandora's box that I want to open for you. You're going to see this supposedly falling star, some kind of angelic being. Hello. Welcome home.
<Thank you.
laughs> For a minute. This angelic being, you know, if it is an angel, because look at this next phrase here. For the star, he was given the key. So is this like a rock or is it a being? Yeah, why? Because he says he. I mean, some passages actually say the word he. Yeah, yours does. And see, to mine, it just says the star was given the key. The star. But really, a better translation of that is he was given the key. And, you know, in all Scripture, the key is always the authority and the power to do something, right? You have the keys to the kingdom. You have the keys. And this is really important. We'll get to it in just a minute. Okay. So I think I was leaning toward believing that Jesus, gave the key to the fallen star, who would be whom? Okay. Now, the more I've thought about it, the more I'm wrestling with myself about it, I realize that why would Jesus give the key to Satan? In fact, in Revelation chapter 1, it said, Jesus said, I have the keys to death and Hades, right? Okay, and now we see this little thing here that whatever this was that fell to the earth was given this key, okay? And I'm wondering whether Jesus would give Satan the key to Hades and death. Okay, keep that in mind a minute. We'll see. I'm just going to lead you down the path a bit, okay? Now, it says he was given the key to what? The shaft, the word is ferrer, and it actually does mean a hole in the ground, of the abyss, or the Greek word is abyssio. Now, interesting enough, how many of y'all have the King James Version or some other version? Okay? All right. Does yours have the word abyss? Okay, what does y'all say? Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what Jesus saw, was this falling from heaven. No, this is in 9:1, in Revelation 9:1. Yeah. Okay, now notice also in the NIV that the abyss is capitalized in the NIV. Why do you capitalize something in the Scripture? What does the capitalization mean? Can you think of it? Why? Well, it's actually a name. It's not a thing, it's a name. So the abyss is a name, just like, yeah. And so what we're going to find is, and I don't know why NIV does that, because I know King James doesn't do that. King James talks about the bottomless pit, but if you study what abyssio means, it actually means a, which means no, bisso, which means depth. Same thing, it's a bottomless pit. Okay, and ferrer is a pit. So he was given the key, okay, the key to this abyss, this bottomless pit. Now, what in the world is the abyss? What is that? Where is it? Where do you find a bottomless pit? Okay, so the interesting thing is we're trying to figure out, what is this abyss? How does it become its own name, the abyss? We're in Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. It turns out that if you look through the Scripture a bit, the capital letter, it's a place of the dead. You remember in Luke chapter 8, when Jesus is casting out the demons from this legion, remember what they said? Don't throw us into the abyss. They don't want to go there. That's a place of the dead, a place where the evil ones go. But it's not hell, because hell has not been done yet. Hell is at the end. Remember, the lake of fire has not even been created yet. But there is this abyss where the dead go, where the evil ones go. I mean, it's this strange place. And then in Romans 10, flip over to Romans 10:7, and let's see what it says about the abyss there. So this word abyss here says, who even will descend in there? Who will do that? Who goes down even into the depths of the dead? And this is where some people believe that Christ, you remember some say that Christ went to hell when he died. He actually didn't just, when he was in that tomb, he didn't just, that he went down into the depths, because of that passage right there. And that he even preached in that place, so that no one has excuse before he died. So there apparently, what's this look for you right here?
Because we've always had a conversation about where was he, what happened.
Right. Right. Well, again, that's just one of the many debates. But that passage says, who will descend to the depths but Christ? Christ ascend to the depths. And that's the word for abyss. In other words, it appears like he goes into the place where the dead reside. Okay? Now, we're going to have a little more information about this in just a second. But let's trace this idea of the key. Now, who has the key at the beginning of Revelation? Jesus does, okay? And it says that the star has fallen from the sky to the earth. Could be Satan, Could be because it leads to him falling from heaven. And then this star, he was given the key by Christ, handed it off. Again, I wonder if he would hand off to Satan the key to this place. Any comments so far? What do you think? And I've given you authority. Right. He's talking to the Christians there, not Satan. No. He's talking to Christians here. He said, the reason I gave you authority is because I saw Satan fall from heaven, so I know he's lost his power. And so I give you authority now to trample on him. Yes, that's right. That's right. So, to get that, to keep that idea, because it's going to lead to a little bit more. Let's go to the second part, the second verse. So you're fine. You're good. The smoke comes out now. When he opened the abyss, when who opened the abyss? Or whoever this is, right? Okay, the one who has the key. Now, the abyss is locked, but it's just now been opened. How was it opened? With a key. Where'd the key come from? Jesus had it. He gave it to somebody. Okay, that's important. You're going to see where I'm going to go. All right, he opened the abyss. Here's more about the abyss. Now, the beast will come up from there. This beast, which is the Antichrist, which is the evil one, is going to come up out of this bottomless pit in Revelation 11, two chapters from now. Okay? Keep that in mind. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Satan will be bound there during the millennium. All right, let's flip over there right quick. Revelation 20, verse 3. I want to show you something. It's important. We're trying to lead into kind of Satanology a little bit, putting Satan in his proper place. But look at Revelation 20, verse 3. Actually, let's go back to verse 2, or even 1. Now, I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss. You got it? So this angel still has it, the one who has it now. He has the key to the abyss. And holding it in his hand, a great chain, he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who was the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So is it possible for Satan to have the key and throw himself in the pit and lock the door? No, of course not. Yeah, he's not going to do that anyway, is he? No. So you see what I mean? So the angel holding the key is not Satan, because he can't throw himself in the pit. It says here the angel holding the key will throw Satan in the pit for 1,000 years in Revelation 20. Now look, this is so important. Here's the reason why I want you to catch this for me. Look up here. It's not really in my notes. I just want to talk over this. I want to open this Pandora's box. Because a lot of people believe that Satan is the god of hell. In other words, in the cartoons, you see Satan as the ruler over everybody in hell. He's sitting there looking through his book, just like God is looking through his book in heaven, right? As if he has the authority in hell, just like God has the authority in heaven. But I want to remind you, Satan is not in charge of hell. God is in charge of hell. God is in charge of everywhere. What's going to happen with Satan when he gets to hell? What's going to happen to him? He's going to be tormented just like everybody else, right? And my point is, we want to say that Satan is such a big dude. He's got so much power, and he doesn't. He is going to be cast there, and even this angel, okay? Remember, Satan is a created angel. Would you agree with that? He's Lucifer, right? Supposedly one of the most beautiful and most powerful. But look, this angel with the key throws him in the pit and locks the door. Who's more powerful? Anyway, that's what I mean. Just raise a whole other issue. Maybe we put Satan in a way bigger position, way more powerful than he really is. He's a created being. He's evil. He's doing against God. But he is so, there's other things. God is so much more powerful than him. It's not even funny. Okay? Okay, so when he opened the abyss, let's move on and we'll see some more. Smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. Now, you want to know another analogy for hell, right there, right? Blazing furnace. Jesus used that in Matthew 13. He said in 42 and 50, he said, look, it's like a blazing furnace. That's why when you think about hell, what do you think of? Think of Alabama. That's right. That's right. You think about, yeah, really. You know, Alabama in July, all right? You think of hell. Okay. Right, right. Arizona all the time, really, right? Yeah. A little drier there, that's right. Okay. He says the sun and the sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. Now, what happened in the third trumpet already? Fourth trumpet already. The fourth? Yeah, fourth, yeah. The sun, moon were darkened already. So now these clouds, this smoke has made it even worse, okay? So the sun has already been darkened from the fourth trumpet, and now this smoke is coming up from this furnace as he opens it up. So just imagine your scene. Put your thinking, your imagination cap on, you know. Here he's watching this angel, and we think of falling down as a negative, but really it just may mean just coming down, you know. And he's given this key. Jesus hands him the key. I have the key to death and Hades. Now I'm handing it off to you. And this angel walks over to this grate in the ground, this pit. And he turns the key and just whoosh. And the heat and the smoke just billows up from this horrible, horrible bottomless pit. Imagine what it smells like. Imagine just what the heat of billowing up in there. You know, it's a beautiful scene here. Okay, now, the pit is one thing, but what comes out of the pit is a whole nother. Because it turns out this Hades, this Sheol, this bottomless pit we're talking about here, is the land of the dead. The demons inhabit this place. What we're going to find in trumpet number 5 and number 6, like I said, is hell is released, or the demonic is released into the earth to do damage. Okay? Look at this. Verse 3. That's kind of a picture I could find to try to represent what these guys look like a little bit. We have this swarm. Anybody ever encountered locusts before? Anybody ever encountered grasshoppers? That's what they are. But even more. Verse 3. Out of the smoke. So here this pit is opened up and the smoke is rising. And out of the smoke, suddenly, this swarm of locusts, they're called Acris, the oriental swarm of locusts, begins to emerge out of this pit. Now, do you think they're normal, old, regular locusts? You think they're just bugs? Wouldn't it be great if they were just bugs? But they're not. Numberless swarms of them almost every spring are carried by the wind from Arabia into Palestine, and having devastated that country, they migrate to regions north, and they just keep migrating until they fall into the sea and they die. And they say that when a swarm comes through, it's just like you just have gone to the moon. I mean, every scrap of living creature, living thing is gone. And they have pictures of this. It even happens in America sometimes. They have swarms of them here too. But in Africa, they're talking about, you know, blacking out the sky for weeks with swarms of millions and billions of these bugs flying through. Now, it'd be bad enough if it was just a regular locust swarm, but look, they came down upon the earth and were given power. Exousia is the word authority. They've been given authority to do what? Like that of a scorpion. Anybody been stung by a scorpion? You have? Yeah. You haven't experienced that, have you? Bees are bad enough. But apparently, scorpions have a pretty sharp tip. And see, these things seem to have a tail of a scorpion and wings of a locust. And that's why we begin to ask ourselves, is this real locust? Is he seeing real locusts come out of here, or is he seeing something totally different? And I think he's seeing something totally different. Okay? Not often fatal, the poisonous sting is very painful. Okay? So let's see what happens in verse 4 here. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree. Now, is that a normal locust? No, those are not normal locusts. Yeah. Well, yeah, the grass does regrow, though. You know, remember we said that was a temporary problem there. But with the sun being darkened, it's going to be harder to grow, isn't it? But look what they are given authority to do. like the eighth plague in Egypt there. But only those people. So in other words, they were told not to harm the grass, but only those people who what? Who did not have the seal of God. And again, that word fragrance is to a signet ring or ownership. You know, it's the idea of your some kind of seal of ownership, okay? On their foreheads. Metapon actually means space between your eyeballs. So we're thinking forehead. It's really between your eyes. I think it's probably the same general area. Now, who were sealed by God like this? 144,000 were. Remember that? And we said they were, you know, Jewish evangelists who were set apart by God and said, look, I will protect you during this period. And they were sealed by God. Remember back in 6, it said, you know, you don't mess with anybody until this sealing is done. You can't mess with it. You can't hurt anybody. And so apparently everybody else who was not sealed by this is going to have to deal with these locusts. Is it it's not loci, is it? Locuses. Locuses. We saw back in Revelation 7 that God sealed 144,000. Okay? And then we see the sting. They were not given power to kill them. Might have been even better. But only to torture them. Now again, I every time we come to a situation like this, you begin to realize why pastors don't preach on Revelation. Okay? Because number one, everybody's beautiful ideas of angel go out the roof. Because the angels are not sweet. Not little fat babies playing their harps and goofing off. I mean, they're powerful beings. Then you see that God is serious. And let's just ask ourselves again. We've been saying this throughout all this study. Why is God doing this? What's his purpose in all of this? Why is he torturing people right now? What's the purpose behind it? Yeah, to bring them to repentance, right? And the fact is, this book is given to us in advance. Why? To let you know what's going to go through. Don't do this. You know? Repent. Come back to me. Because he says here, I'm not just trying to hurt people. I'm not here to just, because I have enjoyment in hurting my children. But what I'm saying is I'm a holy God. And I've told you that this is the penalty for those who do not turn. And so it's your chance to know and do, right? So it's torture them for 5 months. Now, one question I have here, and this I'm not sure either way, are the torments limited for 5 months, or is the length of the pain limited to 5 months? Because both of those are possible in this reading here. In other words, that sting, whereas a bee sting hurts for a few minutes, it's gone away. What if the sting of this lasts for 5 months? Or if they're just working and doing their thing for 5 months of time? It is. Mm-hmm. It is the physical lifespan of a right there. I got it too. Yep. So it may be that God says, all right, I'm going to just release these locusts. But the thing is, these are not natural locusts. And that's why, you know, the 5 months would be fine if it was a natural process. But these are not natural. We're going to see why. We're going to see what they really look like in just a minute. And they are not normal locusts. So I don't know if the pain lasts as long or just the duration of the punishment is 5 months. But anyway, enough to where people want to die. Okay? It's pretty bad. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion, okay? And there's the average scorpion. They say in the Middle East that almost everywhere you go, you have to turn over every rock. Because under almost every rock is some scorpion. I mean, even our military friends just talk about everywhere, every time before you put your shoe on, you have to turn it over and dump it out. Texas, same way? Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, you know, it's just not pleasant. I watched some videos of some guys getting stung on the internet just for fun, and a little bit of both. Because what they did was they hold the scorpion with clamps in the middle of its body, and then you put your arm over there by there, and that thing that tail will reach and reach. I mean, he is mad, and he will get even. That little pincher there on the end. that little guy, he just settles it right in. And these guys are just talking about how excruciating that hurts just for a little while, you know. But anyway, so.
They're good
deceivers,
too.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Sure enough,
it's crawling
right along the thing, and I go to push him, and he jetted across the carpet
fast. Wow. Right.
They're almost impossible.
Well, how big are the ones you've seen? Wow.
Spread out.
Yeah.
And wolf spiders are big, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm with you, girl. I'm with you. I don't know. I got a thing about spiders. I don't want to have a spider attack. Wow. Wow. Yep. So are locusts, matter of fact. And in the Old Testament, they told them to eat them. Yep. So they were a delicacy. You did get your vengeance back on the locusts there. Sorry?
Locust.
Yeah, John. Yeah, he's. That was so strange about him, right? He ate locusts and honey. Remember locusts and honey? Locust bean? Wow. Okay. Okay. We'll try to bring that for y'all to try. That's right. Okay. So the agony they suffer was like that of a sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. I mean, that just radiates out. It is poisonous, and it can kill you. Not usually, but it can, apparently. And the suffering goes on. Here's how we know that this is more than just a normal sting, a normal thing. It says, during these days, men will seek death, but not find it. In fact, they will long, but death will elude them. That word, epithemos, is to lust, just like you lust after something else. I mean, they so desire to die. I mean, they lust after it. They long for it. They linger about it. It's just a deep thing. So, I mean, this is not a pleasant scene at all. And but yet they can't die. Of course, this reminds us a lot of Jeremiah, where he says at the end that whenever I banish them, all the survivors of the evil nation will prefer death to life, declares the Lord Almighty. He said, look, it's going to be so bad they prefer to die. And you remember, it was just a few chapters ago, those people were hiding from God's face. You remember that? Don't make me see him. Don't make me deal with him, you know. Instead of doing what? Repenting. I mean, you know, the saddest thing about this chapter is the last two verses of this chapter. We're going to go through all of this hell on earth, and it's going to say, but the people chose not to repent. Man. But they'll lust after death, but they won't give in to God. So this is a terrible suffering, and it's just beginning. Let's get a picture of what these guys look like. Because we think they're normal, here's what they look like. The locusts look like. And whatever he used look like, what does that mean? Right, he's describing something that he cannot describe. And in fact, over and over again, you're going to say, look like, look like, look like, look like, all right? So let's see what they look like. First, horses prepared for battle, okay? So they had kind of a look like a horse. Now, what is a horse prepared for battle going to look like? Exactly right. So it's got this exoskeleton, this armor coating on it. Now, I know what you're thinking. I am too. It's possible he is seeing some kind of military equipment here. You know, it could be because some of the allusions in these next two trumpets feel like military mechanisms in some senses, you know? Right. Right.
And he said that
or helicopter.
The sting of the locust is in the tail compared to the rear gunner on the
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And all the sounds.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which times like 100, but the buzzing is similar.
Right.
Like
right.
Yeah, if it came from the bottomless pit.
Right. And the other part we're going to get to in a minute, and that is that these locusts have a king. Okay? They have a living leader who we're going to talk about in a minute, too. Okay?
Can I ask you something?
Yes. It does say came down, and out of the smoke locusts came down upon the earth, and upon the earth were given. Okay. No, that's a great point. And because I still have the question, where is the bottomless pit? Is it on the planet, or is it in heaven? Where do the evil ones reside now? It was, but then it's about the earth sometimes. And guess what? It may be. What about this? You ever heard of under the earth? Mm-hmm. Or the idea of the underworld? Mm-hmm. These things could be from under another place, not of the earth, but not of heaven. Like I said, I don't know. I mentioned before that chapter 9 is considered one of the hardest chapters to grasp because we see things we don't really have much to work with from. Oh, yes. That's right. Yep. A lot more to it than there. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Earth is golf. I love that one. That's right. All right. Number two, horses prepared for battle. So we got kind of this exoskeleton. You got kind of a horse head of sorts. On their heads, they wore something like, again, this is just a description of something, like a crown. This is the Stephanos crown again. Right, the victor's crown, exactly right. Now, here's the difference. Stephanos's were not normally a metal, were they? What were they? Leaves or vines or something, right? These are Stephanos's of gold. So this is like a combination of the diadem crown, which is the golden crown, and the Stephanos crown here, okay? So on there, at the front of this creature, looked like some kind of crown. Built into him, okay? And their faces resembled human faces. Was not human faces, but resembled. I mean, two eyes, I don't know. I don't know exactly what. Number four, their hair was like women's hair. We assume long hair, okay? Streaming hair like a woman, okay? And their teeth were like lion's teeth. So here in front of this thing, this flying creature had teeth that were like lions. Big, strong, I imagine, powerful teeth. That's what lions are known for, right? Here's kind of a not-so-good picture, but it's about the best I could find of putting all that stuff together, all right? They had a breastplate like the breastplate of iron. This is what a breastplate looks like. It's a two-part. You know, it has the upper and the lower made of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses. Now, you already know from general and locusts when they come, it sounds like a lot of noise. But this almost sounds like what we see, a tornado, you know, the train sound coming when they come. And it is loud, like a helicopter or something like that.
I don't know, though. If you don't have an
18
drop of bombs, it's pretty loud, too.
Is it?
It's extremely loud. Like a thunder.
Right,
and,
right.
And I'm not entertaining.
No. It's interesting to talk about. Mm-hmm. And see, the thing we don't know is how far in the future this event is. I mean, what are they developing today that we can't even describe 10 years from now? I mean, they may have totally different weaponry in 10 years from now. Right. Yeah. Right, Steve. Mm-hmm. Right, Right.
Not exact and
right.
precise.
Right.
It could be a depiction of something else that maybe isn't
exact. Exactly right. Because obviously he is seeing things way ahead of his time.
And he doesn't have an understanding of what exactly.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
And does anybody have
Yeah, got a couple of King James. Yeah. What did y'all say, Wayne? Does it say like? Okay, they're liking too. Yeah. Okay. And chariots rushing into battle. And then they had tails and stings like scorpions. So again, we got a scorpion thing going on here. I don't know what the deal with scorpions are, but they're all over. I guess it's something that he could relate with, right? He probably saw scorpions every day in the Middle East. And so when he sees some kind of tail, he's going to call this one a scorpion. The next one he sees is going to call a snake, because the next one's got a tail of a snake that breathes fire out of it. So it's interesting there. And their tails had power to torment people for 5 months. And again, the question is, does the torment last for 5 months, or is the period of total period of torment 5 months? All right. Well, since I'm going to talk, I'm going to turn that air back on for a minute. Anybody else need a little bit of air? Just get a little bit, and then we'll cool it back off and just take a break. It's so loud, I just wish we could solve this problem, but that's where we are. All right. Now we're verse number 11. And they had a king over them, okay? So now something different. And this is important as well in our study of Satanology, okay? And they had a king over them, the angel of the abyss. Okay? Now the angel of the abyss is the one who's holding the key. Okay? Because he's the one over the abyss. He goes over and unlocks it. He is the one that will cast Satan into that. Okay? A clear indication that these are not literal locusts, because they are following the leadership of a king or a ruler. They're not mob rule like they are in real life. They have a king or ruler whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon. Say it with me. Abaddon. And the Greek is Apollyon. You did very well with those names there. Now here's what I have. Both Abaddon and Apollyon mean the same thing. They mean destruction. One's in Hebrew and one's in Greek. Okay? This angel of the abyss seems to be Satan himself. However, I decided since I've did this, and I don't like that interpretation anymore because of Revelation 20 we just looked at, okay? So what this would mean is we all know about the angel Michael. We all know about the angel Gabriel. But have you ever known about an angel named Abaddon? Have you ever even thought that an angel's name would be destruction? Right, the angel of death. Good, that's right. That's right. Could be the same guy. I don't know. But we're going to bump into the same situation in just a minute with these four angels in part two. But here's what I'm saying to you. You notice how when there's an image like of a serpent, the scripture will say, who is the devil? Right? In other words, when it's talking about Satan, usually the scripture will identify this is who this is. Okay? Now notice here, they did not identify Abaddon as Satan himself. They just identified it as the angel of the abyss. Okay? And so, more and more, I'm beginning to think that this is the guy in charge of the key, that in charge of this pit. And he's on God's team. He's not a bad angel. He's not on Satan's team. He's actually on God's team. Just from the context here. What do you think?
Well, I agree. Because if we even go back to when we talked about the, you know, the riders on the horses. I mean, you know, I told them that those guys get a bad rap. But these are guys that are sent out, you know.
By God. Right. For God's work. Right. Right.
And if you put it in the position of you think it's Satan himself, that means Jesus would have to trust Satan to carry out his plan. And
right. Right, right,
so it has to be
right.
Something of, you know, that has some kind of tie to God and the authority of God, that he's, you know, he's going to follow out these instructions exactly what he's supposed to do.
Right. Amen. I like that. You like that? those who can't hear back there, that we're just saying that we don't know that God would trust Satan to do his plan. He would use Satan in that way, you know. So, the king over them, the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, in Greek is Apollyon. John 10:10, it says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. So Jesus points out that's also Satan's purpose, right? But it doesn't necessarily mean that's his name. And in fact, if that is his name, it would have said Abaddon, who is Satan or the devil or something, as if it's going to be like other places. Okay? And again, how can he hold the key that he's going to lock himself into later? He can't lock himself in the abyss. So this must be a separate angel, separate from Satan, and even more powerful than Satan, that can lock him up.
You're making it sound like he's the one who came down and got the key. So that means he wasn't in the abyss ruling over his people, but he's in charge of them.
In charge of them from God's point of view. Yeah. And he's the guy. When I call, when I need someone to open the abyss, he's the man. Abaddon gets the call. Okay? And so he comes down. Jesus says, okay, buddy, time to do your job. Open the abyss for a minute. Let these demons out, because I'm now going to let the people know what it's like in the pit. Okay?
In my footnote here, it refers back to 1 Corinthians 10:10.
Okay.
And it said, and don't grumble as some of them did, and then were destroyed by the angel of death.
Ah, there you go. Good job. Yeah.
Because
it means destruction, yeah.
Death,
yep,
that
yep.
Passed over Egypt,
yep.
That is here to,
right.
Wipe over the
right. Egypt. Very good. So possibly Abaddon, meaning destruction, was the angel of death back in Exodus, and is the one who is in charge of dead souls, dead people, bad people. Yeah. Over the abyss. So look, the point is, God tells Satan to come or go. God has people that can take Satan and say, hop in the pit, guy, let's go. Just like that. And we don't want to overstate Satan's power and ability. Verse 12, last piece of this. The first woe is past. Two other woes are yet to come. What do you do here? Dun, dun, dun. Right? Right? One woe is past, two more to come. Okay. The worst is yet to come. All right, any more comments about that trumpet, the fifth trumpet? All right, well, let's get into the sixth. Somebody read verse 13 to 19. Verse 13 to 19 of chapter 9.
With the power to injure people.
Got all that? Okay. You know, some ways, this reminds me of the ultimate horror show. You know, it seems like some of the people that put on horror movies, they just think of everything that can scare you, and they throw it all together in one show just to see, you know. Because so much of this stuff is all the fears of humanity, all the things, a lot of the things we're afraid of, a lot of the things we fear. And God is doing this to say, look, turn around. I've given you grace upon grace, opportunity upon opportunity. All right, so the sixth angel sounded his trumpet. Dun, 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 dun. And I heard this time, so we didn't see, we're hearing. Again, if he's not seeing, if he's not seeing something, he's hearing it. Akao, to hear or perceive, a voice. And the voice says, coming from the horns of the golden altar that is before God. Now remember, last time we talked about this golden altar here. This is the altar of incense. This was in the temple, okay? And what we've already learned is the altar of incense on earth is also duplicated in heaven. Remember, the earthly tabernacle is a duplicate of what's in heaven. It's a copy of the one in heaven, not quite as good, okay? Now, what is the horn of his temple? What is the horn? Anybody know what a horn is? Okay, it looks like that. It sure does. You know what? These are the horns of it right here. See those corner things that stick off? They actually look like horns sticking off the edge of the temple. Now, I know for a fact why they have a horn on the brass altar where the sheep is sacrificed, because what they do is they actually tie the sheep to that horn. This is the place you tie it to while you're killing it, okay? And so the brass altar has these big horns around all four corners, and you tie the sheep to that. Then you slaughter it, you cut its throat, collect its blood. And then, so this has horns as well, and it's these horns around the edge of that golden table of incense. Now, what does the incense represent? Prayers of the people, right? So it's just really cool. This is what, when the high priest takes that blood, he takes it in there, and he actually puts it on the horns of this table. And then he takes it into the Holy of Holies, and he sprinkles it all over the Ark of the Covenant. Okay? So he said, I heard a voice coming from this altar of incense, which is the prayers of the people. Our prayers are being heard constantly. Remember, this incense is going 24/7. Remember, this incense has a special formula that God designed, that it has to be perfect. The exact ratio of all these spices have to be put together. And this represents the prayers of the people, okay? So he heard this voice coming from this altar, and what did it say? So this is where the blood's applied. The altar of incense represents the prayers of the saints. It is said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who were bound at the great river Euphrates. Here we go. Okay. Now, well, there you go. That's good, because that is the next question for you. Loose means to loose something who's physically restrained, okay? And so does deo. Deo can be literal or symbolic, though, when it says they are bound. That could be literally bound, or it could be symbolically bound, okay? So the question is, are these good angels or bad angels? Well, yeah, yours says bad. Well, you know, again, I've been debating with this, and everybody's up to your own interpretation. But if we begin to understand that Apollyon is a worker on behalf of God, then I can also see that these four angels can be a good angel on behalf of God. But yet, the whole idea of being bound. Now, does your King James say, in the Euphrates? What does y'all say there? Look at that verse 14. See, some say at, but the King James. Okay, at, okay. Because there's one translation that actually says in the Euphrates.
My notes say that the angels were fallen angels or demons.
Okay.
My notes, not in the real word.
Yeah, yeah. Yours says in back there, okay? So some people, some versions give you the impression that they're actually in the Euphrates River. So bound to it, at it. Yes. Right. 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 So, like I said, this is one of those places where you wonder, you know, are they physically really bound? And if they're angels that are bound, they would have to be bad angels, demon angels, okay? And, you know, are they? And then the whole big debate is, what does the Euphrates River have to do with it? We have no idea. I mean, everybody has 1,000 different ideas as to why the Euphrates, okay? Now, we do know that we think the Garden of Eden is there. Yep. Yes. Yes. It sure does. It goes right through Babylon. It goes, yes, yes. This is, yes, this, right. This is where Daniel happened. This is where the Garden of Eden happened. This is where the Tower of Babel happened. This is where a lot of stuff has happened. Boy, you know, if you start trying to connect all these dots, I do not know exactly. But, and on top of all that, the northern boundary of the nation of Israel is the Euphrates River. This is the northern boundary of that, okay? So, where's that? Okay. But you know, Babylon's down here. There's Babylon. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because you know, the Euphrates is actually mentioned in the Garden of Eden. It's one of the rivers that's mentioned.
Well,
you know, so.
Just an interesting, because it talks about the different things we're talking about, the borders
yep.
and everything.
Yep.
And it just says, this river represents that which keeps civil chaos and wanton violence at bay.
Wow. Yep. Yep. And you remember Daniel? How much happened in that corridor in the book of Daniel? All those wars, all those armies, all that stuff happened right in that same. Nothing's changed. That's right. Nothing's changed. I mean, still. And again, we know that the Bible is going to be Jerusalem centric. I mean, that is still going to be the end. Armageddon is in the same territory still today. Okay. But back to the question. And I don't know. So you do your research. You make up your decision. Because it does say lio, which means to release somebody who's bound in restraint. Okay? But could it be restraint? Because it says here they were prepared for the hour and the day and the year. So could the restraint be simply, we're ready for you, Lord. We're on your team. But we're waiting on just the right moment. Okay? I don't know. I really don't know. Do what I tell you when I tell you to do it. Yeah, that's right. So they're restrained in that way, right?
Yeah.
They can't do whatever they want, you know? And that's what they do. Verse 15, and the four angels who had been kept ready. See, is that a restraint word? Is that a bound word, kept ready? Yeah, in a way. Hey, they're holding, okay? Because we've already seen the four angels on the four corners. Remember that? Four winds, okay? Could it be possible that those four angels that were holding back the winds are the same four angels we're talking about here that are kind of restraining the evil from the territory that is Israel's boundary? See, what if their job is we're the guard of Israel and we got them surrounded? These four angels have them guarded from four sides. And when God says, all right, we're done, they let go. They've been binding the whole evil from this part of the world. And God says, it's time. Let go.
The King James says, who had been prepared.
Yes.
Instead of kept.
Right. Prepared. Ready. At the ready. It's a great question. I wish I had more answers for you. But these four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year. So who knows the day and hour? Does Jesus know it? God knows it. He knows it. He knows the time schedule. What did we just open? The seven seals opened what? What was the seven seals? Right. The scroll, right? And the scroll has the plan of the ages for the rest of history. And so God says, all right, seven seals opened. Now you see. I know exactly what day and hour and time and day this is going to happen. Okay? So these angels have been ready for that. They were released to kill one third of all mankind. Again, how many Sunday school lessons have you had with your kids about angels killing a third of all mankind? Is that the sweet kind of angel we want to think about? I mean, all right, so we got, 7 billion people on the planet. Now, again, we have been debating about whether we're raptured or not. Still not sure. What you look there for?
Oh,
however, look at this. Since a fourth has already been killed back in Revelation 6. Now, this means if you add a fourth and this third, look, one half of the entire human population is now wiped off the planet Earth. Okay?
Still not touching the people that have.
Still can't touch that 144,000 evangelists. Oh, that was you just asked me? I don't know. That's a good question. We haven't been told that yet. The only seal we've seen so far for sure is that 144,000. Right? But I want to believe that the converts are protected. Okay, I don't know.
We're not there.
We're not there yet. That's right. But still, one-third. What's that look for back there? Am I giving too many options?
So, yeah, basically.
Probably.
I thought it would just be like a revealing time.
Yes.
Revelation.
I know. That's right. That's right. I know it. Right. There's still a lot more to learn. And remember, this is the hardest chapter to visualize and interpret of any of the whole book, according to some people.
What if you throw just a little caveat in there?
Okay.
Does it really matter?
It doesn't matter.
Does it really matter if the four angels are demons
or
right. angels are good?
Right.
Because they're still controlled by God.
Right, 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 right.
Does it really
right.
matter?
That is a good caveat. That is a good caveat.
I mean, if you really and so, want to know, you can
right.
come up with your theory.
Yes, that's right.
Really
Right, right.
Someone will pin us down on the street and say, well, now I read.
No, I agree.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. So we want to know what we believe, don't we?
We want to know.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. That's right. But again, this is tough stuff. But look, overarching this whole thing, God is in control. And the thing is we're seeing what God is doing and why is he showing us now? So we won't go through it. I mean, this is a revelation so that we will repent. And if anybody would truly look at this book and read it and study it, they would go, I don't want to go through that. I do not want to know what this is. I don't want to go through it and find out what it is, you know? All right, verse 16, the number of the mounted troops, okay? The word is hippokos. It actually means horsemen, okay? Now, these appear to be military troops, okay? Was 200 million. Only time in Scripture that's numbers ever used. And, you know, it's been a farce for most people saying, how could you ever get 200 million men army until China did it in 1969? Now, yes, 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 that's right, 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 right. But even in World War II, they said they had 70 million.
Right. Like
you know.
Small numbers,
right. Yes.
You know, the entire world.
That's right. That's right. So,
it says here this, that you talk about the number being 200 million.
Yep.
And he says that China and India and Japan could easily put that many in the field tomorrow.
China, India, and Japan.
Very
yes. Could put that many together these days.
Yeah.
And again, you see the connections that are being made politically these days. You see, you know, Russia and China, you know, joining together. Right, right, right. Well, this is how they're going to die, though. He's now telling how they're going to die, okay? So, is this literal troops? Not sure. Again, I wish I knew for sure. But the horses and riders, because here now he goes and details it, and we see that they're maybe not normal, okay? I saw my vision look like, again, NIV says look like, their breastplates were fiery red, which the translation is pyros. You know what the word pyro means? What does that mean? Fire, yeah. So take the red off of that. The color he's talking about is fire. Okay? And this one, you can help me out with this one. It says dark blue, but the color is hyacinth sauce. You know what a hyacinth? But it comes from the hyacinth plant.
Really?
It's the dark violet color of the hyacinth. And yet, NIV translated that dark blue. In fact, anybody else got a different color than dark blue? I don't know. You got hyacinth? Good. Okay. And in fact, some translations say that's actually a cinnamon color. You know, cinnamon is kind of a darker red, darker sky blue? Wow. It could be. Because, you know, I looked that up. Because we got yellow, which is actually the word brimstone there, you know, with sulfur. So I did the very thing. I did that very thing because, you know, the breastplates can be the flag of the country. Guess what country is red, blue, and yellow? No, that would make a lot of sense. Yeah. Finland. I know, it's like, yeah. And a couple of African countries, a couple of the small, I think, Colombia or something. Only a few people have those three combinations in flags in the whole world. Those three colors. Sapphire. Wow. Wow. Very interesting. So this breastplate, again, is this armor, this coating of armor, and it's colored by these colors, okay? And then the heads of the horses resembled the heads of lions. Again, I mean, I don't know what this looks like.
Maybe they just had big heads with big manes or something.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur. Now, this sounds like weaponry, doesn't it? It really does, you know? Yeah, brimstone, yeah, sulfur. And a third of mankind was killed by these three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur. You know, I don't know if it's smoke inhalation, I don't know if they caught on fire, if there's just three different waves of this, or just all of it together. No, this was the same third as before. He's just explaining how it happened, okay? Yeah, he sent them to kill, and this is how they did it, okay? Yeah, well.
Because, again, it goes back to almost the same thing as the Satan thing. Is that
an act? That's right. That's right. And the power of the horses, so the main attack method of the horse was their mouth and their tails. For their tails were like snakes, having heads which they inflict injury. All right, so you got this mouth shooting out fire, and then you got somehow this serpent tail that also bites and shoots out stuff. So what does this thing look like? That's right.
Which
he does. Well, that's what he understands. You know, that's where, like I said, if we're looking at something from 2100, and, you know, from our day even, and we're going, well, how in the world am I going to explain that? You can explain it in terms of what you see now. You say, well, it's kind of like, and, you know, I don't want to over symbolize it, but I just want to say that God sends terror, sends every form of horror onto the planet to get us to change. He says, look, it's coming. My wrath is coming. And I've been warning you, I've been building it up through the seals and now through the trumpets, and then the bowls are even going to be stronger again. No. Verse 20. Somebody read the last two verses here. This really makes you sad. If there's anything sad and scary about the whole thing, it's the last two verses. Wow. This is the bottom line. The rest of humanity, how much is left now? About half of the population, okay? Again, if not including the rapture, all right? If we are raptured prior to all this, this whole number could be a lot smaller, okay? But if we are not raptured, and again, I hope we are. I know we're going to be protected. I know we're in his hand, but I hope we're raptured. That'd be great.
Just to be confused,
Well, the fact, like I said, that there's no mention of the church in all of these chapters. I mean, there's no mention on the earth of the church doing anything. And this has been the center of the whole scripture. And suddenly it's not there. Leads me to think that he is, well, we'd like to think so. Yeah. Well, that's exactly what he's saying here. I mean, John is seeing, yeah, that's why it's so sad. John is seeing this and he's saying, my God, how can this go on? And he says, look, those that were not killed by these plagues, it says, still did not repent of the works of their hands. Oh, sure, sure, yeah. He's trying to show us now. Yeah, that's right, that's right. Yes, right, right. Yeah, that's right, yes. Amen, no doubt about it. Probably. Probably the same problem. Probably the same problem. That's right. Let's look at this list of things that they are still doing and see if we're doing it today even. All right. The first one is worshiping demons. Nobody worships demons today. Well, some do. You know, it's what does yours say, Wayne? Oh. Yeah, some do. Yeah, that's right. Giving divine power to the demonic. In other words, giving them control that only God has. Okay? That's worshiping demons. Number two, idols. Adion or images. Now, funny enough, this is the first two of the Ten Commandments. We just broke the first two commandments, right? Having no other images before me, right? And they're going to have idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood. And I love this last comment here. Idols that cannot see, hear, or walk. You know, God has hated idols. It's funny, every time he mentions idols, he really puts them down in the Bible. You notice that? Why are you leaning on those idols? They can't do anything for you. You know, still in the very end of the book, still doing it, you know. All right. Nor did they repent of their murders. The sixth commandment is broke. They're still murdering each other and feeling okay about it. Their magic arts. Interestingly, the word is pharmakia. Right, where we get the word pharmacy from. It's actually using drugs and sorcery together. Using drugs to induce sorcery. That's what a lot of cultic people do. Use drugs and different things. So, even here in the end, they're still doing their drugs. Still using it and doing sorcery. Of course, sexual immorality, porneia. The seventh commandment is broke. But it's more than that. This is, porneia means all forms of sexual activity, not just fornication, but all kinds, going crazy. And their thefts are still stealing stuff, the eighth commandment. So five of the Ten Commandments are still being broken on a regular basis in the end. So that's kind of the saddest commentaries at the very end of this chapter, that with all this going on, they're still not repenting. And here's the good news. We hear the truth now. We have a chance to repent. We have a chance to help others to repent. You know, these things that are going on today are no worse. And the truth is, we have the future spelled out to us. The scroll has been opened. We have no excuse but to say, look. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sam. Beautiful.